Swept Away, the new movie starring Madonna, has done so badly at the box office that in less than a month, it's almost gone from the theaters. But some people aren't complaining. Those would be the fashion designers, whose clothes are prominently displayed in the movie. David Darcy reports that even if a film tanks, stars can still sell clothes.
In the new remake of Swept Away, Lena Wertmüller's 1975 attack on bourgeois consumerism, Madonna plays a rich American on a Mediterranean cruise.
See, you've got your dancing shoes on. One, two, three. What's the matter? Don't you want to dance with me?
I don't want to dance with people I don't like.
There are lots of new clothes in Swept Away by Missoni and Chanel, all provided by the designers. Madonna wears jewelry on screen, courtesy of Cartier. There's even a dream sequence in which she dances in a Versace gown.
Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you candy.
People who are going to Swept Away or to any other film with designer clothes in it may be looking for encouragement as much as entertainment. Hal Rubinstein is an editor at In Style magazine.
Style is a very scary thing. Most people think that style is something that other people have more of than they do. And so consequently, as you're looking for some subtle okay, some subtle affirmation, without having to go to either the salesperson or your best friend or your boyfriend or your girlfriend and going, do I look stupid in this? Nobody wants to make a mistake. Nobody wants to be wrong.
The public has had a lot of time to think about how Swept Away fashions look. Preview coverage of the film in fashion magazines before any reviews came out showed Madonna covered in Versace. Jay May is president of Feature This, a company that specializes in putting product on the screen for its clients. May says Swept Away's story and Madonna's character make complete sense for a brand like Versace.
And Swept Away, they were selling the concept of how rich these people are. Versace is very well known for not being your average consumer product, that you have to have a little bit of buckage to get this. Well, they can use wardrobe to sell the character.
But clothes don't make a movie, says Hal Rubinstein.
It's a two-hour commitment of your life, and life's too short to sit through garbage. I think if a movie is fun, if a movie is successful, and the clothes are great, well, that's terrific. It's a bonus. If a movie's a dog, And the clothes are great, it's not going to matter. I mean, if you look at the films that have been great influences on the way people dress, whether it's Bonnie and Clyde or Breakfast at Tiffany's or Funny Face, My Fair Lady, To Catch a Thief, they're all successful movies. The fact that they have great clothes in it is a wonderful adjunct to it, but I don't think it has anything to do with why somebody actually goes in the first place.
The clothes haven't saved Swept Away, but Jay May says nobody's blaming the clothing designer.
If the movie doesn't stay out for a long time, it's certainly not Versace's fault. It's the person who's in the Versace's fault. It was point blank awful. But it doesn't have an effect on the product placement because the celebrity is still wearing their product, and that won't change.
But as advertising, a movie doesn't have to be a hit, since movie and television product placement is one of the cheapest ways to reach huge numbers of people.
The beauty of product placement is it's part of the show. With a magazine or a billboard, eventually it's not there anymore. If you're reading a magazine and you pay for a full-page ad, you know, how many people truly will stop on that full-page ad? Is it trackable that someone has stopped at your full-page ad? Absolutely not. 3 months later, where's that magazine? Either in the trash or buried with other magazines that never get seen. For $100,000, $200,000 in a placement, your wardrobe is in there forever.
Film has been used to market clothes for what seems like forever. Some placements are subtle. Some are not.
Cher, get in here.
What's up, Daddy?
What the hell is that?
A dress.
Says who?
Calvin Klein.
It looks like underwear. Go upstairs and put something over it.
In the 1990s, even the teenagers who went to see Clueless knew who Calvin Klein was. In the 1930s, when a film usually stayed in theaters for just a week or two, the studios didn't get dresses from named designers. Their costume departments copied them, and the studios themselves licensed those knockoffs to department stores around the country. If Joan Crawford wore a particular dress, the studios knew the public would buy it, says costume historian Jane Trapnell Marino. The 1933 movie Letty Linton hasn't been shown for decades because its screenwriters were accused of plagiarism. That didn't keep the studio from cashing in on a dress that its costume department designed for Crawford.
The legend is that Macy's sold 500,000 copies of this Letty Linton dress that was licensed. I've never found any name of a manufacturer. I've researched that to find out exactly what we're talking about. However, in Sears and Roebuck's catalog for 1933, there is a little red and white gingham dress with three little ruffles at the shoulders. It bears a really passing resemblance to this wonderful creation that Joan Crawford wore in the movie, which was an evening gown. And this little day dress is advertised for $1.29 in the Sears Roebuck catalog, and it's their Letty Linton dress in great big letters across the ad.
Today, the fashion publicity that precedes a movie can be influential enough to launch a whole style before anyone sees the clothes on the screen.
If you think I'm going to sleep with you just because you've taken me under your wing, you're wrong.
Frida, the biopic about Mexican artist Frida Kahlo, was supposed to have opened last spring. Fashion magazines around the world planned their spring issues around the release. They were filled with photo spreads of Frida-style costumes, peasant blouses, long skirts, and heavy jewelry. Jane Trapnell Moreno admits she bought into the style without even seeing the movie.
Oh, absolutely. And it was a great look. It's the kind of thing that, you know what it is, it's that we've been minimal for so long. It's been, oh God, minimal. And then this is, feels like the right way to begin emerging from minimalism. Definitely, I got my peasant blouse, and I loved it.
This is the kind of movie fan that fashion designers love. But product placement specialist Jay May says those designers plan on getting even closer to the consumer.
The future of product placement is while you're watching your TV set, and I am not joking about this, you'll be watching Friends, and you like Monica's sweater. So you're going to be able to click on to Monica's sweater on from your remote. A box is going to open up. It's going to say,
available at Bloomingdale's for $99.95. Would you like to order it now?
That's where product placement is going.
May and his colleagues have already placed what you'll be wearing next season. The new look from European designers features surfer prints and surfer gear. Half a dozen surfer movies are set to open in the spring. Before that, Revlon will have lots of product placements in the new James Bond movie, which features its spokesmodel, Halle Berry. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.